Good morning. We're all busy in here today. As part of our Advent series, we've been highlighting the talents of some of the young musicians in our midst. So at this time, I'd invite Allison and Lorelei to share what they've prepared.
Thank you.
you would join me in the call to worship printed in your bulletin. Our souls magnify you, our God. Our spirits rejoice in you, our Savior. You have scattered the proud and brought down the mighty.
You have raised up the lowly.
You have remembered your mercy, helping those in need and their descendants forever.
Praise
God's holy name. If you would join me in singing our Advent hymn, Praise the One Who Breaks the Darkness. It's found printed both in your bulletin and an insert in many of the hymnals. Stand if you're able. Welcome here. For many of you, it's home, and for others, this may be a new place. May you find what you need during this time. We are a full house today. Is there anyone who wishes to be introduced or would like to introduce a guest? If the kids could come to the front, Ingrid has prepared something for you.
Well, hopefully after the story you won't want to annoy your parents. Yeah, you can have two. As long as everyone gets one. Does everyone have a bell? Oh, there's lots. Shake the bell. Shake the bell. Tell me, is that a sad sound or a happy sound? Happy sound. Okay, now let's just keep them still for a minute while I talk, and then I'll let you shake them again. Okay. Today the grown-ups in church are going to talk about love. And so, I looked on the internet and found a story about love and bells together. Bells are something we see lots of at Christmas time, and usually they make us feel happy. Now, I want you to hold your bell really tight in your hand, really tight, and shake it. What happens to the sound? It's not a happy sound anymore, is it? It's kind of like love. When we open our hearts and let our love out and we shake it, it's a happy sound. So all this Christmas, when you see bells, it's to remind you that you need to open your heart and love. Can you remember that? Awesome. You get to keep it. That's okay. Now we're going to say a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the love you sent us in your Son, Jesus. Help us to remember to share this love and open our hearts and let the love ring out. Amen. Go be happy. Have fun. Hello. It will surely irritate parents, yes.
Church is a busy community and there are many activities going on. Please make sure you read your bulletins to find out more. I'd like to highlight a couple of things though. This week on Thursday, which is Christmas Eve, as we all know, at 5:30, all of the children and choir members will gather to have a meal and dress rehearsal for Thursday. On a same note, our Christmas Eve program will be taking place on Thursday at 6:30. Please note the time change from previous years. Our Christmas Day service will take place at 11 a.m. on Friday. The Refugee Support Group has been meeting and is happy to announce that we will be sponsoring two young men, one from Sudan and another from Burundi. Please keep these men in your prayers as their paperwork is processed, and watch for more details as they come. There's an announcement in your bulletin as well. Nobody has contacted me to highlight anything else. So as busy as our church body is, we also take time to stop and celebrate the joys and reflect on our concerns. If you have something you'd like to share, Pastor Gary will bring a mic around. I will note that we're asked to keep Hildy Weens in our thoughts and prayers as her chemo will begin in the new year, and Peter Sawatsky as he recovers at home. And please keep James and Kim Zacharias and their family in your thoughts this week, as Alyssa has hopefully a final surgery on her ear tomorrow.
I'd like to make a little plug for the Family Life Center in Zaporozhye, Ukraine, this morning. As you know, after our 75th anniversary celebration, this church sent a sum of money to that center to assist them. Also, Wanda had published a book on this day. The sales from that book, all sales, all monies, went to the Family Life Center in Ukraine through the Mennonite Benevolent Society, the Mennonite Benevolent Society of Winnipeg. She has now written more poems, and we have just received last week a new shipment of these poems, which will be on sale. We will be selling them for $20 a piece. The proceeds, all but the printing costs, will go directly to the Mennonite Benevolent Society. And that will all that money will go to, again, the Family Life Center in Zaporozhye, Ukraine, which, of course, is assisting needy, desolate, sometimes very badly stricken people in miserable situations. So we do this. We want to do this project again. We ask for support. Thank you.
Good morning. I was telling Gary about this week, and he sort of encouraged me to share it with you. So I'm really bad at this, but I'm going to try. And Vic's looking at me already saying, "I told you so." So it's okay. Many of you know that our oldest daughter, Kim, has been chronically ill from IB disease. That means intestinal bowel disease. Since she was 12 years old, Kim and her husband, Derek, I will stop right away. Kim and her husband, Derek, live in Morden with their two dogs and two cats. When she was able, Kim worked as a nurse in the community. Many years ago, Kim's large intestine was so diseased that it needed to be surgically removed. And instead of having a colostomy, the doctors at that time constructed a pouch inside her abdomen using part of the small intestine to form, for lack of a better word, a holding pouch. This seemed to work for a while, but Kim still continued to have and continues to have a great deal of pain. Over the years, many colonoscopies, gastroscopies, and surgeries have been done to find the cause of so much pain and to try to alleviate it. This summer, things really started to deteriorate. Her hair, which has always been thin, started falling out. Her teeth began chipping. Her legs began to swell, and she had trouble walking. And she began to lose weight. I really thought I could do this better because I read it over many times at home. After many tests, again, it was finally discovered that her iron stores were very low, so iron infusions were given, but after three sessions, there has not been much improvement. So after many years of malabsorption and a consequence of this disease, malnutrition is the result, causing many other complications. While performing another colonoscopy this September, some possible ulcerations were discovered in her ileum. That's the passage between the pouch and the small intestine. which they could never get into to possibly properly take a look. It was recommended then that Kim have a procedure where she would swallow a pill with a camera embedded in it. And the journey of this device would be monitored, hopefully showing more fully what was happening in the intestines from beginning to the end where it would pass out of her body. We didn't even know such a procedure was possible. We were really excited, hoping that finally this would show exactly where the problem was and that it could be fixed. So this was finally done several weeks ago. Unfortunately, this pill with a camera embedded in it still has not passed through her system, causing blockages, which of course causes even more pain and can ultimately be quite dangerous. X-rays show that the device is stuck in the small intestine. There is a 1.2% chance of this happening anywhere, but it had to happen to Kim. At this point, surgery will need to be done to remove the device. Because this is so unusual, her doctors have been hesitant to go in surgically and are trying to figure out their best approach. We have been told it will be a complicated procedure, and her specialist is trying to find a surgeon who will agree to do it. However, the likelihood of an emergency surgery to remove the blockage while the doctors are trying to see how best to do this is very real, and no one wants that. We are hoping tomorrow that we will hear what the plan for Kim is. So now we ask for your prayers for Kim and Derek and for all of us, but particularly that the right surgeon be found and for wisdom in the decision-making process as well as for God's guiding hand when the surgery will be performed.
Hi. Thank you all for your prayers and thoughts last weekend when Eric and I were in Ontario. It was a good weekend. The church was very hospitable. It was lovely. I came away with very mixed feelings about whether this was the right place for us as a family or for me as a pastor. And then on Friday, they called and said they were also having mixed feelings. And so it's been decided not to go any further. We will not be moving to Ontario, at least not that we know of. And I will continue to look for something. So I guess thank you again for your support. Mostly there is feelings of relief at this point that we don't have to worry about a big move. Continued prayers that I would find the door that God really would like us to go through. So thanks again.
Well, being in a church family, we always have things to pray for. To keep Lowen family and Janet, you and your family in our prayers as well. I have two things. The first one, very briefly, Glenn Bergen, our own Glenn Bergen, who is managing editor of University of Manitoba Press, donated a book to the church, and I was very excited about this. I thought I would just mention it's called A Knock on the Door, which is a summary of the TRC findings. It's a short version of the report that you've been hearing about. I'm calling dibs on the first read, but it should be back in the church library shortly, so I'm sure many of you will want to read it. So thank you so much, Glenn, for that. Secondly, I have a letter here from Rosalba Perdomo. Remember her? We raise money for a wheelchair. It's brief. I'd like to read it to you. Dear North Kildonan Mennonite Church, I want to take a few minutes of your time to say I would like to sincerely thank you for your gift, your generosity, very much appreciated. I simply cannot find words, cannot describe with words or express how much this present means to me, but I want to express that thanks to all of those who gave me a little piece of heart and supported me to make this possible. Isn't that wonderful? We gave her a little piece of our heart. Thank you very much. Because of you, this dream project came true. Now I am able to say I can go around by myself and can help my daughter with whatever she needs, support her more, and be able to go outside. I will be praying for all of you that God may be with you and bless you all, wishing you a spectacular day filled with love, happiness, peace, and joy that Christmas brings. Always be with you and your family. Thank you very much, and I hope you have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Rosalba Perdomo and her daughter, Sandra Perdomo. We'll have pictures available for next week. So it got through, and with our donation, we changed a life.
We've heard lots, and there is lots weighing on our hearts still. If you join me in prayer.
Advent, God, who comes to us in love, peace, and joy. We thank you for love that nourishes and sustains our hearts, for peace that enables us to live in friendship with others, for joy that illuminates and inspires our lives. Yet to be loved and not care for the unloved, to live in peace and ignore the shattered lives of others, to celebrate our own enjoyment selfishly, our sins against you, O Advent God, which deny the very message we preach. We pray for those whom joy seems far away and for others to enjoy. For all whose loneliness is made worse by parties, laughter, and other people's joy. For bereaved people still hurting from the death of someone they have loved. For wives, husbands, children, whose lives have been broken by family breakup, divorce, and dismantling of hope. For older people now living on their own, some of whom may see no one over Christmas. Lord, in their loneliness, may these your children know the presence of the wonderful Counselor and comfort them through us. In the silence, pray for those on your mind. Our first scripture today comes from the book of Micah, chapter 5, verses 2-5a. But you, O Bethlehem, are only a small village among the people of Judah, yet a ruler of Israel, whose origins are in the distant past, will come from you on my behalf. The people of Israel will be abandoned to their enemies until the woman in labor gives birth. Then at last his fellow countrymen will return from exile to their own land, and he will stand to lead his flock with the Lord's strength, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. Then his people will live there undisturbed, for he will be highly honored around the world, and he will be the source of peace. When the Assyrians invade our land and break through our defenses, we will appoint 7 rulers to watch over us, 8 princes to lead us. In response to the text, please turn in your blue hymnals to number 191, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Please stand to sing. hear the words of Mary from Luke. I'm bursting with God news. I'm dancing the song of my Savior God. God took one good look at me, and look what happened. I'm the most fortunate woman on earth. What God has done for me will never be forgotten. The God whose very name is holy, set apart from all others. His mercy flows in wave after wave on those who are in awe before him. He bared his arm and showed his strength, scattered the bluffing braggarts. He knocked tyrants off their high horses, pulled victims out of the mud. The starving poor sat down to a banquet. The callous rich were left out in the cold. He embraced his chosen child, Israel. He remembered and piled on the mercies, piled them high. It's exactly what he promised, beginning with Abraham and right up to now. Preparation for the message. Please remain seated and sing number 176 in the blue hymnals, Comfort, Comfort, O My People.
Let's sing verse 1 and 3.
Thing I forgot to mention earlier with the letter from Rosalba Perdomo is that Nancy Mercia and her family have been the ones who have been the connecting points for us. And so they've done all the legwork, getting it, the money back and forth and the information and the pictures. And so we just want to say thank you so much for what you have done. Let's take a minute to pray before we take a look at the passage. In the midst of our celebration, God, we experience your love, but we know that during this Christmas time, some of the struggles are highlighted for people. We ask that as we consider your love, that you would help us to be sensitive to those around us, to be quick to extend an open arm of welcome and to open our doors so that people know that they are cared for. To tie together love and Christmas isn't a stretch. Not the least of which, I mean, one of the reasons, I'm trying to talk in English here, but one of the reasons, of course, is a baby is at the middle. And for those of you who were here 2 weeks ago when we had parent-child dedication and we had seven babies, I mean, there was just love boiling all over the place here, right? Maybe not so much the diapers and the midnight screaming, but other than that, babies are about love, right? And there are other points of love around Christmas, too. We buy gifts for people that we love. We invite people we love over for turkey and eat too much. And we even sprinkle it around a little bit. We go buy a Salvation Army kettle and drop in a couple of bucks. We drop an extra tin in the bin for Winnipeg Harvest. We might even drop off a check for Siloam Mission or Teen Challenge or Union Gospel Mission or some other organization that we respect. That's all great. That's all love. But, as always, God digs a little deeper. during Advent, we've been talking about the freedom that God has wanted to bring us during this Advent time. And we looked at justice and mercy. And last week, Tim talked about trust and the way that we experience freedom through that. And today we want to talk about love. To do that, we need to reach back. Right back to the beginning. Creation is a result of God's love boiling over. There's too much there to handle, and out comes creation. We were birthed in love, humanity that is. We were designed to enjoy the freedom of life that God has created for us. And then sin came in, messed it up. So God reached out to Abraham. And if you take a look at Genesis chapter 12, God is reaching out to Abraham and saying, I'm going to bless you, and through you all nations of the world will be blessed. I'm going to shower my love on you, and everybody is going to experience the freedom I have designed. And we see God's love to the followers of Abraham, first of all, by making him a great nation, bringing him out of Egypt, feeding them through the 40 years in the wilderness, giving them law, giving them land, and it goes on and on. And did it work? No, it did not work. The people still get lost in sin. They still get hooked up into all the nastiness that goes on in life. And so we see in the prophets, from early on, the glimmers of another way. And we see that in the book of Micah. The passage that Stephanie read, chapter 5, verses 2 to 5, is the third and three cycles in Micah, starting at chapter 4, verse 1, of God taking what was a mess and turning something good out of it. This particular cycle says, you're led by strangers, and God is going to send a leader, but he's going to be different. It's going to be a leader who is humble, and you know the leader is humble because comes from Bethlehem. A sign of humility. It's kind of like if you come from Steinbeck, right? It's a sign of humility. Actually, this passage in Micah is the passage that Herod would have used to explain to the wise men where Jesus was born. It's going to be a leader who's humble. It's going to be a leader who's going to follow the way of God rather than looking for their own ends. It's going to be a leader who leads in the way of peace. A shepherd, he says. Something very different. From the vantage point of the New Testament, we look back and we say, ah, God reached out in love through creation and things didn't work. God reached out in love through the law. Sin continued. And now God reaches out in love once more, only this time God comes. Now, when you think about that, God is a holy trinity of love in heaven. There's this connection going on beyond what we can imagine. Paul helps us understand a little bit in Philippians chapter 2, about verse 5 to 11. And he talks about how when Jesus came as God, the love of God, he set aside something incredible in heaven. We don't think about that often. We just said, oh, Jesus came. Good for him, good for us, right? He set aside a connection and took on the limitations of humanity, which is us. And that love brought him to the cross. And it wasn't so much the torturing and the death, which we often think about. It was the separation from God. When Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's taken love to the extreme. And saying he's willing even to separate himself from God for us. And you know the rest of the story. True love can't be held even by death. And so death is broken. What happens? Suddenly, what God has wanted all along for us to experience the freedom of what life is meant to be is possible. Because the power of sin and death is broken. Love makes freedom possible. Mary's Magnificat, Mary's song, brings out two aspects of that which I want to mention today, very briefly. The one is that she talks about the freedom and love, how it shows itself through those who are, and she uses the words in the passage depending on your translation, the wealthy, the powerful, the arrogant. There's two groups here. The other one is the poor and the ones who don't have enough to make it through in life. Now, this is all wonderful until we stand in front of the text and say, where do we belong? Then it gets a little uncomfortable because the text looks really negative. Bad, bad people, it seems to be saying. But read it through again. What is it saying? What it's saying is that people who are lost and owned by their wealth and by their power and by their attitude can't experience the freedom of Christ. It's like Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus wanted to make it in life. And so he got a job which gave him power and wealth. He was a rich man. And people, they paid attention to what he said, not because they wanted to, but because he had some soldiers behind them with great big swords and spears. And so they smiled when he told them what to do and how much to give. But was Zacchaeus happy? Was Zacchaeus experiencing freedom? He comes down and Jesus extends to him love and says, hey, Zacchaeus, I know everybody hates you. But guess what? I want to come to your house for Phosphor. Now, it doesn't say he said anything more than that. And what does Zacchaeus do? Gets rid of all his money. Pretty much. The thing he was tied to, he recognized was getting in the way of him experiencing freedom and life as God wanted him to. And he says, if this is going to stand between me and what God has for me, it's gone. There's a few other examples. One of them is a rich young ruler who comes to Jesus. And he says, I've done it all. I've done everything. We talked about this a few weeks ago. And Jesus looked at him and says, oh, you've got this huge chain around your leg that you can't see. And it's your wealth. Tell you what. Let's do something really cool here. Let's set you free. Give your money to the poor. Come and follow me. This is great. And the guy says, I can't. He was owned by his money. Pharisees, the religious leaders, let's just put it that way, came to Jesus and they were owned by their position and by their education and by their wealth and all sorts of other things. And Jesus tries to get through to them and say, guys, let it go. You're missing something so incredible. Let it go. And they couldn't. And so what the text does is it comes to us and it asks us the question, are you owned by your money? Are you owned by your position, by your power? And you do have power. We all do. Are you owned by it or is it just part of your life? Now, there's nothing inherently wrong with money or position. Mother Teresa was a very powerful person, and we wouldn't think of her as being abusive. It's how we use it. And so that's the question that comes to us, and the offer that comes, freedom is there through the love of God. Take a look at your leg. Is there a chain around it? You can let it go. You can let it go. The other group is the group who struggle because they don't have what they need to make it through life. Now, some of us are part of that group too. Some of us struggle with mental health issues. Some of us struggle with being abused. Some of us struggle with other emotional things or feeling pushed aside and marginalized. And the message to us is God has come in love to free us. He doesn't always take these things away, but in the midst of them, like Paul with the thorn in the flesh, in the midst of them, we can experience the freedom of Christ. I'm always amazed that we look at churches in the third world and they hardly have enough to get through life and they are so happy. You take a look at the Mennonite church, for instance, in Ethiopia, which is just exploding. Just as an aside, do you know that white Mennonites are in the minority Isn't that great? Love that. You need a new hymn book. I'm not sure the score is big enough for all the notes that some of those folks have. But anyhow, where were we? Oh, yes. We don't have to get lost because we struggle. We need help. But God is there. And then there are the other group. The group who are discriminated against because of religion or race or background. The people who experience racism and bigotry and bullying and abuse of power. The message goes to them to say there's good news. But that message also comes through us. And God says, remember how in creation my love bubbled over and ran down to you? Well, if you're experiencing my love, wouldn't it make sense that it would boil over in your life and trickle down to these people as well? God says, this is so cool to reach out and give people hope through love, to find freedom through love. Won't you join me? Won't you join me in responding to the broken and the hurting? We've said it, we've turned an eye too long. Years back, we called it parenting. There was discipline, and sometimes it got carried away. We turned a blind eye, and it wasn't okay. And we said that, you know, man is ahead of the home, and there was abuse that happened there sometimes. We turned away, and it wasn't okay. And sometimes we look down on people of other races, and somehow, I don't know about you, I really hope you had a better childhood than I in this regard. They were from a different religion, and they didn't really matter. And we could laugh at them. And it wasn't okay. And people were bullied, and lots of things happened. And what the text says to us today is, we have an opportunity to extend the love of Christ to those who experience inappropriate use of power, to bring them freedom. This Christmas, may God flood you with His love so you would know the freedom that He comes to bring at Christmas. And may that love boil over to touch the lives of all those that you encounter.
In response, please stand to sing Hope is a Candle, which can be found printed in your bulletins. Please remain standing for the benediction to follow. May you be strengthened as you go forth to carry God's love as Mary did, a love that is radical, powerful, and life-affirming. Amen. The choir sings one final song. We invite you to join us on the fourth verse. the text of which you can find in your hymnal, number 212, O Come All You Faithful.